For the past several weeks, we've taken you on a trip around the orchestral seating chart, from way back in the percussion section to the strings. And this week, Annie Corrigan wraps it all up in the front with flutist Kate Lucas.
The flute is an instrument handed to many a beginning musician. The sound is produced by blowing air across an opening in the head joint, just like blowing across a soda bottle, something every child is familiar with. This doesn't mean, however, that the flute is an easy instrument to master. Living at the top of the orchestral sound presents a special set of challenges to flute players.
We have a bit of a tough job because we're always at the top, or most always at the top of any texture. So tuning issues come into it. We always get blamed when it's not right because we're heard so much.
Kate Lucas is professor of flute at Indiana University's Jacobs School of Music. She's played principal flute with a number of orchestras across the world, including the Santa Fe Opera Company and the London Symphony Orchestra. The job of the principal flutist, she says, is anything but easy.
It's a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde thing. You have to really have your soloistic juices flowing. When the composer lets everything else drop out of the orchestra and you're left on your own, there you are. So you have to have your solo juices going. And then, practically in the next step, often, you've got to be part of a texture. And that means you have to fit in with your color, you have to fit in with tuning, obviously, dynamics, and blend. Various orchestra players have invented new words, like the combination of a flute and oboe becomes a flobo.
Flobo.
Or a clarinet, or something like that. It's really true that you have to blend your sound with the other instrument, and it becomes a third instrument. If you really get it right, it becomes an extra color because the vibrations combine.
Sitting two seats away from the principal flutist is the piccolo player. The piccolo is the ceiling of the orchestra, sounding an octave above the flute. Lucas says the piccolo player has the most dangerous job in the orchestra.
You sit for hours, it seems, playing nothing. So your instrument can go cold, your embouchure seems foreign to you. And then suddenly you have to do the most difficult things on earth. Play either very quietly, possibly very high, very quietly, or very difficult. And even in the tutti passages when everybody's playing, often the piccolo is orchestrated at the top. And again, you can't miss it. The thing I love about playing piccolo, which I've done on occasion, is that I feel like I could control the tempo of the whole orchestra because this little instrument that's about 10 inches long is so loud that you can dominate the whole thing. So you have to be friends with the conductor, or the conductor has to be friends with you if you're the piccolo player.
The flute often portrays birds in solo orchestral passages, as in Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf and Saint-Saëns' Carnival of the Animals. Maurice Ravel, though, used the flute in his Daphnis and Chloe to depict something else.
One of the main parts of the ballet features the flute, where Daphnis and Chloe actually have a love duet. It's actually about 3 minutes long, so it's actually a complete piece. And so you really do have to think about it in not only inspirational terms, but structural terms, so that you can think about how it's going to peak, how it's going to end, certainly how it's going to begin, because it's a rather tough beginning. Well, Daphnis and Chloe is one of the showpieces for the flute section, but also for the principal flute.
Kate Lucas has taught flute at the Guildhall School of Music and the Royal Academy of London. She has been on the faculty of the Jacobs School of Music since 1990. You can listen to other musician profiles on our website, wfiu.org/arts. For WFIU Arts, I'm Annie Corrigan.